Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the 411 Talk Zone Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to say it is a rainy Friday here in Chicagoland, Portage, Indiana. But it does not mean that we won't get off with a good topic. And I got a good one coming up for you tonight. But first, I'd like to welcome you to the 411 Talk Zone Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. But I also have two other channels I'm going to plug in for you. You can catch the 411 Talk Zone Radio Show on YouTube. And also, want you to check in to my new channel, The Mind of STEM. It's also on YouTube. Now, The Mind of STEM features information about science, technology, engineering, and math. That's what STEM stands for. And I give you information on a number of topics. So far, I've talked about a little bit biology, or we say horticulture, anthropology. Talk to you about submittals for construction and change orders. And there are other topics that I am going to get to in the future. But give that channel a listen to and like the videos. And like the videos right here on the 411 Talk Zone Radio Show on YouTube. Now, it is a Friday night, and normally I do the shows on Saturday. Now, the last few weeks I've been doing them on Sunday. I have done shows on Friday. So to give myself a little Saturday break while I watch some college football and do some housework, I decided, wanted to come in and do it today. Now, this content, of course, is Red Pill content. And again, I like to do Red Pill content because there's still a number of people who do not understand what Red Pill is. Now, Red Pill is a philosophy. Notice what I said. It's a philosophy. It is not a movement. It's about accepting the truth for what it really is. And many of us have a hard time accepting the truth because a lot of us, we continue to live in this blue pill matrix. And when you live in a blue pill matrix, you tend to have denial about a lot of what's going on, particularly in the landscape of dating. There are a number of brothers out here, all across racial divide, that are looking for women to change. Some of them are going to change, some of them aren't. Face the facts. Number of women are encapsulated with feminism. They think it is the greatest thing since sliced bread. So as a man, you avoid those types of women. And you also have some men who have the defeatist attitude. And I did a video tonight on how to become resilient. That video is uploading. And when it comes to being resilient, that's where you get your strength from, your positive encouragement. Because there are a number of us who are weak people. We're non-resilient. We take on the defeatist and the victim attitude because many of us are scared to actually put out what we believe so we do not become ostracized. Now, in the long run, when you hold things in, it's going to hurt you. So here on the 411 Talk Zone Radio Show, I do encourage individuals to logically put a comment down, whether you agree with me or not, but be logical and respectful. Now, I also have a call-in number to this radio show. It's 215-383-5785, but I'm not going to go into the call-in number. I'm just going to do this again in a commentary format. So getting that out of the way, it's time to get into the show. Now, tonight's show is The Choice from a Male Perspective. The Choice from a Male Perspective. Again, this information is coming from the illimitablemen.com, and I appreciate the information that I have gotten from this gentleman. I want to give him credit because I am using his work, but I'm putting my own spin on it, of course. But the information that I have sought from him helps me present the message of red pill knowledge, because this guy is a red pill man, just like I am. So when it comes to the choice from a male perspective, Pope John Paul II said this. He said, the great danger for family life in the midst of any society whose idols are pleasure, comfort, and independence lies in the fact that people close their hearts and become selfish. Again, this is what Pope John Paul II said. He said, the great danger for family life in the midst of any society whose idols are pleasure, comfort, and independence lies in the fact that people close their hearts and become selfish. Now, when we deal with the male perspective, it's a quandary. So I'm just going to say this right now. This is MGTOW right here. To enjoy the decline or to start a family? That is the question. And of course, this is a problem unique to man, particularly those conscious and critical of the paradigm we occupy, for it is not a consideration that even crosses the threshold of consciousness any archetypal drone. And yet, unlike the drone who knows no quandary, who idly autopilots his way into an unmarketable or unmarkable 5 to 15 year marriage that leads to 0.1 children or one child, the more enlightened man finds himself in the pivotal but yet privileged position of making an informed choice about his future course. Again, to enjoy the decline or to start a family, that is a question. And of course, this is a problem unique to man, particularly those conscious and critical of the paradigm that we occupy. For it is not a consideration that even crosses the threshold in the archetypal drone, and yet, unlike the drone who knows no quandary, who idly autopilots his way into an unremarkable 5 to 15 year marriage that yields 2.1 children, corrections, 2.1 children, not 0.1 child, it's 2.1 children, the more enlightened man finds himself in the pivotal, but yet privileged position of making an informed choice about his futures course. Now, such a man is free to direct his fate absent the demands of religious indoctrination or self-serving women. After all, should one of the most important decisions of a man's life be made by anyone other than man himself? Does a man feel pressured and cajoled into starting a family on his own terms? Does he want to do it on his own terms or on the terms of those with a plan for him? With both reason of mind and heart of soul, the man free of spells and delusions can exercise his mental sovereignty by weighing up the risk and rewards of the lifestyle choices available to him, be that the life of a patriarch or the life of a bachelor. Now, as self-respecting free-thinking and proud man should not be bullied into marrying by his religion, his family, nor the woman maneuvering to get a ring on her finger. A man should make this decision free of external devices and with full mental clarity, for a man should establish a serious relationship in much the way he would seek to maintain it. Therefore, it stands to reason that should a man be cajoled or duped into marriage and babies, that although it may initially fill the dissimulating woman with naught but estrogenic rejoice and maternal glee, such shadowy foundations do not bode well for their relationship's longevity. See, a strong man does not respond to shame. He acknowledges the shame for its manipulative transgression that it is, disregards it as folly, and continues to forge his path absent the mechanizations of such duplicity. Because the free man wanders, or he wonders which lifestyle choice would be in his best interest, and he is, no matter what he does, condemned to an unforgivable degree of heartache either way. See, if a marriage leads to divorce and bachelorhood leads to childless loneliness, what is a man supposed to do? After all, a choice between misery or loneliness hardly seems like much of a choice at all. Now, here's the problem for the patriarch. If a man is to marry, there is reasonable fear the fresh legal supremacy his woman enjoys will disrupt the balance of power that previously maintained their relationship. The informed man is all too aware the legal privilege of the modern wife can be used to force him into domestic servitude, and that legally speaking, the marriage hangs on a thread tied to a hovering sword that follows him wherever he goes. So from the moment he has said, "I do," a dangling sword of Damocles stalks him, scrutinizing his every action, primed to strike. Too many mistakes and the sword falls, divorce is initiated, financial and emotional chaos wrought. Now, of course, there is an embellic, ignorant argument to be made that not all women are like that. And indeed, this is true. Not all women will whimsically detonate a divorce bomb. And yet, a wise man in his prudence must ask himself, is my woman like that? And then follow up this question with, if my woman is not like that, what is the likelihood she could become like that? To which the answer, in all earnestness, is a pertinent easily, or is more easily pertinent. Now, if too much comfort is indulged, if too much is neglected, or too much left to chance, the ruination of marital union is all but a certainty. Now, a marriage is like a car hanging off a cliff. It requires the man driving to accelerate now and then to ensure the car does not tilt and fall into the ocean below. Just as it was in courting and marriage, the burden of performance is man's to bear. Now, if a man fails in his capacity as husband, or is at least perceived to have failed, he loses everything. By contrast, if his woman is an abysmal failure of a wife, she gets a payday and a fresh chance. See, in today's society, a woman's marriage risk is minimal. And of course, this comes at the expense of a man's being astronomical. See, women do not fear marriage because they have no reason to. Men do because they have every reason to. See, a marriage's odds of success are merely improved, but still mightily unfavorable for man, even when the potential wife is of considerable quality. And so, although it is not impossible to become a patriarch, it is a dangerous affair regardless of who is involved. Again, the danger is neither explicitly the man nor the woman involved's fault, but rather the fault of a judicial system that makes marriage so costly to men. Now, the success of a marriage is, of course, dependent solely on the parties involved. But what was once merely a monumental investment on the part of man has been perverted by the misandry of feminism into a monumental gamble. Now, a sensible man is not a gambling man, because he does not wager half his assets and his emotional stability on the odds of a woman's whim remaining pretty. No matter who is involved, the aspect remains the same. A man has no assurances nor protection from the state. In a worst case scenario, the woman is protected and the man is left to rot. Now, idiots will marry blindly and gamblers will marry brazenly, while sensible men will abstain and the intelligent romantically delay. Now, as such, it is a lazy and ill-cultured wife's prerogative to cash in the marriage whenever she deems fit. For if she and her husband are at odds and it is too difficult, too cumbersome, and too taxing for her to compromise, she can force the man to leave, keep the home he labored for, and make off with much his present and future wealth. Now, here's the problem for the bachelor. Now, the opposing side of the quandary is, of course, the lust for family and lineage. For one, not to die childless and alone. The informed man wishes not to be ravaged by the effects of feminist marriage, and yet neither does he wish to be wrecked by the absence of companionship or children in his elder years. See, where the patriarch fears divorce, the bachelor fears childlessness and loneliness. Now, although men are not as dependent on family as women for sanity, success, and happiness, they still value family. Now, the reluctance to marry is as such a synthesis of a distrust in women married to a contempt for a misandric legal system. Now, the bachelor is a man who values his freedom more than most, and thus constraints, demands, and expectations inappreciably thrust upon him by a wife hold no appeal. This does not mean such a man would not enjoy being a father, but rather that becoming one would mean giving up an inordinate degree of freedom to the mother. For the bachelor, a rat pack is his family replacement. Through the formation of a rat pack, a bachelor can assuage his loneliness and need for tribe. A rat pack is a small tribe of cohabiting single and childless men. Such an arrangement allows the group of to fully indulge in the wealth and freedom of childless singledom without any of its accompanying loneliness. Nonetheless, the desire to reproduce is not so easily assuaged. Men sensitive to and aware of the nature of evolutionary biology feel they have a genetic imperative to reproduce, and thus the quandary presents itself. Is a man to enter an institution hostile to him so that he may build a family, or is he to enjoy the full succulence of his fruits and yet leave no worldly legacy behind? Because the artistic man may leave his creations, the academic man, his research, but what of the layman, and are achievements acceptable substitutes for legacy in the absence of reproduction? Now, this is a choice all informed men must make, and there is no right or wrong answer. It is my presupposition that most informed men will take full advantage of their extended fertility window and to opt to settle down with a younger woman in middle age. I believe most informed men are willing to risk divorce in their elder years if it means they got to lead a good life before becoming a father. Now, a female perspective, we call that a prize. Women do not face the quandary that idiotic men shirk and informed men face. Women's marriage risk is very minimal, and her fertility window is short. The nature of a woman's limited fertility is precisely why once women have decided They want to settle down. They're frenetic to do so. This is in stark opposition to men who are happy to take their time and vet their mate more rigorously, particularly when dating older women who are circumspect by merit of their availability. Because the quaint poetry here, of course, is that the older the woman, the greater her sense of urgency, and the older the man, the more reluctant his urge to commit. Now, of course, fertility is only part of the equation. Men hold the keys to commitment, women to sex. If commitment, attention, and provision is what women value most, then men are the gatekeepers to womanly wants, and marriage is a jackpot in which she is bestowed an endless supply of these things. Now, a 50-year-old woman had the charm, sex appeal, and mental stability of her 20-year-old self. She'd be as leisurely, lackadaisy about the speed the relationship progresses at as the man her age are. Yet, whether a woman can admit it to herself or not, she is intuitively aware that as she ages, her capacity to attract a top-tier mate basically decreases. A woman's power erodes with each passing year, and thus, like anybody all too aware of their depreciation, the cleverest attempt to leverage their power at its peak. The question of marriage is always a no-brainer for a woman, as I previously stated. This quandary lies solely in the jurisdiction of man. If a woman asked me, should I get married? I'd say yes, as soon as you can, and ideally no later than 26, because marriage is a really good deal for women. For women, marriage represents something it scarcely does for men: financial security and psychological sanity. Now, although in this commentary, I don't talk much in a manner conducive to a woman's viewpoint or need, it does not mean I don't understand the importance of marriage and babies to women, but it is the life goal of all intelligent and sensible women to become wives and mothers, for scarcely can a woman achieve the happiness in business her man can, as to be a mother buzzing in the embrace of family is her highest calling. Family is where women derive emotional nourishment, for it gives them a sense of internal completion, and to honor her husband while sucking her young is in and of itself a most noble of goals. Now, men get purpose from art and business, whereas women get purpose from the family. Now, not all men and not all women, but generally speaking, this doesn't mean men don't want family, merely that they need it less, and a longer fertility window permits them to sensibly delay patriarchhood. Now, testosterone needs challenge, estrogen needs comfort. This is why women are more relationship oriented than men, for it provides the apex of their happiness, their very reason for being, to be desired and feel integrally vital in a family rich in love and abundance. Family is important to men, but so are aspects irrespective of it. Again, family is important to men, because some people believe that men aren't family-oriented. No, family is important to men, but so are aspects irrespective of it. See, a man's priorities are more evenly weighed than a woman's. If his family does not have an immediate need rather than manufacture a need to fill, as a woman wanting to feel relevant will do, he will busy himself with commerce, resource acquisition, or art, an outlet for his masculine creativity that the wonderful yet splendid mundanity of family life does not provide. A woman, on the other hand, is lost without family. No matter how much she attempts to fill the void with art, business, or pets, she cannot help but feel a most profound sense of absence strike the core of her being. Whether she knows it or not, her very fiber yearns to be a wife and mother, and no matter her opinion of that, she is powerless to escape this most visceral of compulsion. Now, again, this is the difference between men and women when it comes to marriage. Now, the salvation of a crumbling civilization, the very thing it needs to persist and replenish itself morally, intellectually, and socially, is the very thing that has been poisoned to desensitize men and the family. Deprive a nation of a nuclear family, and eventually you deprive a nation of its very existence. And it is the poisoning of women by feminism in tandem with the hostility of family law that is encouraging men to embrace the playboy lifestyle in record numbers in an accelerating social breakdown. Cocaine, whiskey, and hookers can seem like a smart choice to live hard and optimism. Now, again, we cannot blame the men who shy away from their responsibility as men, Christians, or whatever, for not indulging the burden of patriarchy when said burden has been contorted to ensure man's life will almost certainly become a living hell should he be anything but perfect. Now, when men conduct a cost-benefit analysis of the potential for marriage and rightfully deduce the chance of success, it is not in their favor, and that a painless exit is all but attainable, we cannot blame their aversion, because it is easy to mount the entire blame on men and accuse them of immaturity and commitment phobia. But I believe many men are at heart family men, because there are socially smart for avoiding marriage, but evolutionarily dumb for not reproducing. Many things in life are a trade-off, and this is by far one of the greatest a man will ever contemplate. Now, the more men begin to put their own interest ahead of women's, the fewer the number of children to be born and the quicker our civilization collapses. So really, who is abetting civilization? The bachelor who hastens its decline, or the patriarch who slows it? Is there a way to reverse rather than merely slow the decline? Yes, I believe the reversion of family law to a pre-feminist state would be a great start. If the religions can take back marriage from the clutches of feminists, the corrupt family courts, and the parasitic divorce industry, then the family unit may yet be saved. But unless such judicial change takes place and gives men the peace of mind they need to functionally marry, I believe for better or worse, then the decline of civilization and bedrock it is built upon will continue at a rapid pace. Now, in closing, without judicial reconciliation between what is in a man's best interest and what is in woman's, men will continue to shun marriage, and society will as well. Family by family, shrink and deteriorate with increasing pace. So what needs to happen is you give men incentive and legal assurances, and many more will be willing to take up the mantle of responsibility in what is already a thanklessly rewarding yet toilsome endeavor. Well, just like we all talk about, feminism, the family courts, men just don't want to get married. Now, I'm not saying that's for all men, because I believe that marriage is a good stabilizer. But we must go back to the laws we had pre-feminism. Because believe it or not, feminism has hurt everybody. Women might think it's helping them. Hasn't helped them at all. It's more or less made a number of women out to be victims themselves, victims of something that they created. Now, remember there was a book out there. I think her name was Dr. Helen something, Men on Strike. I have to find that book, but it said a lot. And she was a good author. But Men on Strike tells you everything about men. But in today's civilization, Dr. Helen Smith was her name. She appeared on Fox News. And she explained in her book about the cost-benefit analysis why men don't want to get married. And you have to ask yourself, as a man, why would you want to get married in today's society? Why would you want to put yourself through that hell? Now, I'm talking about married and having children. Now, if you're an older man, you've gone through divorce, meet an older woman, and you both see eye to eye, that's different. Doesn't mean that she won't take you for a ride, but for the most part, she's less likely because she's already had her children. She's already had what she needed, and she just wants to be with you. No sweet chocolate sister like that that I love. But at the end of the day, when it comes to men, men control marriage while women control sex. And that's why a number of women are upset that men don't want to get married. You have some men out there that do want to get married. But at the end of the day, as a red pill man, you got to understand the truth, the nature of women. A number of women aren't loyal enough to be married to, because they can be married, they'll get tired of you, and they want to get out of marriage. 73% of women initiate divorce. That is 3/4 of women. And with the numbers that high, as a man, yes, I'd be running for marriage as well. And with the amount of disloyalty by women today, no, it's not worth it. And this is what feminism has done. It hasn't created equality. It's just created more selfish women. And this is why society is going to continue to crumble if men don't see the need to reproduce. But at the end of the day, masculinity is not toxic, and it's okay to be a man. Because who builds everything? Men do. And without men, we have no civilizations. And that's my commentary for this edition of the 401 Talk Zone Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you like what I just presented, you go up there onto my Facebook and Twitter pages and comment. Now, for those who don't listen to the show when it's live, you can always listen to the show during its archive state. You can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter, because I post all my shows up on Facebook and Twitter. Also, like the videos on the 401 Talk Zone Radio Show on YouTube. I'm posting a video up today. I talk about resilient people. Also, subscribe and like the videos to the Mind of STEM, where I talk about STEM. It's very important because STEM helps societies grow, because without STEM, we wouldn't have cars, computers, medicines. But check out my new channel, the Mind of STEM channel. It's an educational channel. Now, I know in the black community, most people don't want to deal with education. They want to deal with ratchetness. I don't deal with ratchetness on my channels. I deal with education, because having knowledge is power. Now, again, the links to all of my YouTube channels or at the bottom in the comment section. Again, you can find me on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio. You can even email me. My email is at the bottom as well. If you want to get a hold of me, if you have a topic that you want me to do, depending on what it is, I'll do it. Just email me. But you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. Of course, you can find me on YouTube. And, of course, I do Blog Talk Radio. Again, on my channel, I don't take any Patreons. The information I do is researched. It's free information because I want individuals to learn about what's going on, because it's important that men have a clue what's going on. Now, I'm going to do the shit test encyclopedia next week. That's right. A lot of guys are shit tested constantly by women. And that's what drags a man down, too. And that puts him in a world of stress, too. It's the shit test encyclopedia next week. But in the meantime, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this edition of the 401 Talk Soul Radio Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And again, that ends its commentary. And I just want to tell you this. Always be resilient. Be blessed for what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Always know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And that concludes this commentary right here on the 401 Talk Soul Radio Show, Blog Talk Radio. Once again, my name is Leon Jones. You have a good night, and I am out.